All right, so let me quickly reset you. We go into hour number three. Welcome to the program. A tremendous Wednesday to you. Busy, busy 2 hours. Always kind of reeling a little bit coming off that beef segment where we are loading it all up, getting to as much content as we can, and we did so. Welcome to the show. As you know, we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, you also know that Rocket can. Coming up next segment, we're talking NBA with a reporter for Yahoo Sports, Sirit Sohi. Phone lines are still open, so maybe you missed out on the beef segment. You could actually turn that beef into a phone call. That works. That works. You can be clever like that. You don't have to wait for the beef segment to call the beef. You don't need to be like, I really want to be a part of that segment. You could still be a part of the program. 1-800-636-8686. ATP is coming up later on, too. All right, so the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial was announced yesterday. The former police officer was found guilty on all charges. After roughly 10 and a half hours of deliberation, a jury found him guilty of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, second-degree manslaughter in the murder of George Floyd. Obviously, it was a tense and emotional moment. And when the verdict had been announced, there are any number of different ways that you might react. A few examples. LeBron James tweeted one word in all caps, accountability. Karl Anthony Towns, quote, justice and accountability, things I never thought that I would see. There's much more work to do, but this is an amazing start working towards the reform this country needs, end quote. Darius Butler, quote, this should be the norm. No person or profession should be above the law. It won't bring back, or it won't bring George Floyd back. But I'm glad justice was finally served, end quote. Kevin Love tweeted, accountability is trending. So a number of teams across sports released statements on Twitter as well. And they range from the thoughtful to the mundane. And then you have the Las Vegas Raiders. Because a few hours after the verdict, the Las Vegas Raiders tweeted the following graphic in all caps, in white letters, on a black background. I can breathe. 4-20-21. To which I would say, what? More specifically, the bleep? I mean, there are a lot of things that you could tweet. There's an entire alphabet. The English language has, 470,000 words or something like that. Those are the three that you chose? The three words, which come off as a play on the last words of Eric Garner and George Floyd. The three words that were on t-shirts worn by people mocking the killing of Garner. Those are the three words that you come up with on the Raiders Twitter feed. And it was not like that was some hastily thumbed out tweet. Clearly, that was something that was sent down to the graphics department to be worked up and then tweeted out. Are you freaking serious about that? Who was the social media intern who came up with that, and how long did it take to fire that person? Except that's not the case at all. That was not some rogue intern. That was the rogue owner. That was Mark Davis who came up with that. He told multiple outlets the tweet was his idea. He told Tashawn Reed of The Athletic that he wanted that tweet to go up, but that he did not know that it was a phrase used by people to mock the killing of Garner. Quote, let me say this right off the bat. I was not aware of that. Absolutely not. I had no idea of that. That's a situation that I was not aware of. I can see where there could be some negativity towards what I said based on that. End quote. He then went on to say that the inspiration for the tweet actually came from George Floyd's brother, who told reporters after the verdict that, quote, today we are able to breathe again, end quote. Davis said, quote, I took it from him saying that, and that's exactly what my feelings were. I don't know who it offended, Obviously, if those t-shirts are out there and they thought that's what I was referring to, that's a very big misconception and I made a huge mistake in that regard. End quote. I mean, I guess it is definitely a possibility that he did not know about those shirts and about how that phrase had been used in the past. Let's face it. I mean, as we all know, Davis is a very different cat. He's been known to roll around in a 1997 Dodge minivan, making calls on a 2003 Nokia phone. Well after 1997 and 2003, he calls P.F. Chang's his office. When it comes to haircuts, it looks like he has a bowl of clam chowder, finishes that bowl, slaps it on his head, and cuts around it. I guess what I'm saying is he does not appear to be the most plugged in or connected guy, so maybe we give him the benefit of the doubt on this. Davis went on to say, quote, he was deeply, deeply disappointed, end quote, if he offended members of the Floyd family, and that he would like to speak with them to make sure they know what he's about and what he was trying to say. And then you know how a situation like this goes, right? You make a truly idiotic, offensive, and regrettable tweet. You then delete it. You post your apology. And that's how you handle a situation like that. You acknowledge the mistake. You own the mistake. You take it down so it does not continue to offend people. And you try to move on. So that's exactly what the Raiders did, right? That's not what they did. Davis told Reed, quote, I will not delete it, end quote. And then he had more, quote, I could unpin it and let it run its course. It's already out there. That's the risk you take anytime you put anything on Twitter. It's out there for life because people are retweeting it and keeping it and doing all that stuff with it. I rarely, rarely post stuff, but I'm not into erasing something. It's not an apology. I'm not embarrassed by what I said, but I did learn something new. So I learned something. I learned that cops were wearing t-shirts saying that, and that's a negative. End quote. Man, I mean, I don't even know what to do with that. I have so many questions, starting with, the bleep is that? Actually, that's my only question. The bleep is that, dude? The hell are you even saying or doing? I mean, that makes no sense at all. I have never been as confused as I am right now. You make about as much sense as that whack ginger cut you go with. You recognized that what you wanted to say turned out to be really offensive and that it inspired a level of pain that you were not looking to inspire, but you're leaving it up there. The best that you're willing to do is to unpin it, which means it's still there this morning, right near a tweet about offensive line coach Tom Cable and the team hosting intra-squad scrimmages from local high school teams. Hey, look, yes, I know I'm the guy who always says that the internet is written in ink. You cannot unring the bell. But you know what? You can delete a tweet, especially one that is really offensive and one that's harmful. Man, there's no honor in sticking by an offensive statement in this moment, even if it was an accidental offense. Honestly, at this point, I'm not sure what's more offensive, the original tweet or the decision to leave it up there and the explanation as to why you're doing so. Leaving the post up does not make that a teachable moment. If you take Davis at his word, either he didn't know what he was doing or saying, but now he does, and yet he's still sticking with it. I don't know. Like, I screwed up and I tweeted a phrase that I didn't really know about, and it turned out that the phrase is used by people who oppose what I was trying to say, so it makes me look like I'm with them. And now that I know that, I'm still not taking it down. I'm just going to stay with that. Like, how does that make sense? How does any of that make sense? The Raiders could have tweeted anything, and that's what they came up with. And then when the owner realizes that it's offensive and it's hurtful, he decides to keep it anyway. No, that makes no sense at all. Your Las Vegas Raiders, everyone. Yeah, I really don't know about that. In fact, I do know about that. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. 1-800-636-8686. You are more than welcome to take part in the conversation. Or you can tweet on anything else. PGA Tour is going to reward people for their popularity. And I don't mean with little perks and benefits either. I mean with money. Real money. Straight cash, homie. Millions and dollars. Millions of dollars.
Straight cash, homie.
That's coming up, too, if I can get that in before the end of the program. In addition to that, arguably the most exciting prospect in UFC history has his sights on a return to the octagon. And no, wise asses, it is not Ben Askren. I'm going to try and work that in if possible. Also, coming up later on today, episode 171. I've been hammering that because I'm really happy with it. Also, something really quickly from yesterday. Normally, I'm not going backwards, but we did have Steph Curry on the show yesterday. I want to make sure it's not getting lost in the fact that we had it at the end of the program. He is on a historic run right now. A historic heater right now. This guy cannot be stopped by anybody. When Steph came on the program, I said to him, I'm really curious, Steph, you've had a lot of great runs in your career. Does this feel like just another one of those periods where you are really hot and you're in the zone? Or does this feel different to you? Does it feel special to you?
I mean, every season is different, if you will, in terms of the challenge and the scenario. And, you know, we've obviously played, you know, five straight finals and been on that quest. So I think every game, every season just has its separate challenges, and you kind of got to live up to the moment. And when you do, and you it clicks, and you find your rhythm, you kind of get lost in the moment, and that's the best part of, you know, being in this league for so long. You get to see a little bit of everything, but you find ways to adjust your game. You find ways to you know, adjust your presence in the locker room, leadership wise, and you know, make the best of what it is. And so that's what I'm on right now. You know, my team is, we're a little shorthanded, undermanned. We have so many injuries going on, but you know, we're trying to find a way to stay competitive and trying to do my part. So I think just falling in love with the moment of what each season brings keeps the joy there.
See, that's interesting, right? He said fall in love with the moment and just follow the joy that each season brings. And it's been a really challenging season. It's been a really challenging season. They did not get off to a great start. They've had some injuries, and yet they're right there in the hunt. And he's playing his best ball ever. They're playing their best ball when it matters most. I said, what's it like, given the challenges of the season, to know that you're still right in that fight?
Absolutely. I mean, that was in response to, you know, how the season started. We weren't picked very high at all in terms of, you know, the Western Conference rankings, and our season started off kind of slow, getting blown out by some really good teams, and that's when you heard all the chatter, personally and as a team, and blocking all that out and just, again, figuring out a way to make the necessary adjustments, find, you know, the best version of what we can be, what I can be right now, and making that the priority. That's how you lock in into the moment. And, you know, the other stuff is kind of just the entertaining part of this business. No matter how much you accomplish, it seems like it's, you know, always that what have you done for me lately type of vibe. And at the end of the day, you got to have that confidence in yourself that you know what you're about, and that it'll show, you know, throughout the course of a season.
See, the thing about Steph, I don't think he gets nearly enough credit. I mean, sure, multiple championships, MVPs, Hall of Famer, greatest shooter ever. What I'm saying is he deserves even more credit for all that and for being an amazing leader. An amazing leader. Because he's getting it done. And he's missing a lot of the help that he normally has, including Klay Thompson. I said, what's the update on your guy, Klay? How's he doing? Where's his mind at?
He's grinding. I feel like he's in obviously, all things considered, he's been out of the game for 2 years and had to deal with two significant injuries, but he's working hard. He's battling. He's got a great mindset about the player that he's going to be when he comes back. And, you know, he's got to be patient. Obviously, he's got, you know, probably 6-7 months left, but of rehab. But he's on the right track, and it's nice to have him around, you know, the locker room and on the bench during games, giving us that energy. And you know, he's one of a kind in terms of what he can do on the floor. Just, you know, obviously can't wait to see him back out there. It's gonna be great to have him back, but I want him to come back full strength. So however long that takes, I know, you know, he'll be ready, and it'll be good to see the new Clay, but you know, flashes of what he's shown his whole career.
Steph Curry on the show yesterday. I want to make sure that I reset that because that was on at the very end of the program yesterday. When we come back, we talk some more NBA. Sirit Sohi makes her debut. She is an NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. That's coming up next. Stay tuned. UFC 261 is a can't-miss event. Every punch, every kick, every knockout means so much more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is giving all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you've not tried it yet, fantasy MMA is so easy to play. You pick six fighters, you stay under the salary cap, you pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There is no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. And do not forget about basketball and hockey, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs throughout the entire week. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app right now, use the promo code Rome, get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. Promo code Rome, get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Talking some NBA right now. I just reset the conversation I had with Steph Curry yesterday because it had been quite some time since he had been on the program, so good to run him down. We continue on that topic and others. We are joined right now by an NBA reporter for Yahoo. She is co-host of Dunk Bait, previously covered the league for SB Nation. She is making her jungle debut. Sirit Sohi is my guest. Sirit, nice to have you on. How are you today?
Doing well. How's it going?
Good. Great. Nice to have you on. So I look forward to having you on, and we can do this now. I mentioned Steph was on the show yesterday. He had 49 Monday night. He had 47 the game before that. He's had at least 10 threes in four of his last five games. So when you're watching him right now, what's going through your head, and what do you think as you see the run that he's on?
How could he possibly get better than he is or was before, you know?
Right.
It's different than anything I've ever experienced before in sports. It's just you think at some point he's going to miss a shot, and he just doesn't. I think that game on Monday, I think he went 10 for 17 or something crazy like that. So it's like you're getting 30 points just from shooting threes. It feels sustainable to me. Does it feel sustainable to you?
It does. It certainly does. And I'm watching it. I'm trying to make sense of it because he's coming off an injury. He missed most of last season. He's 33. And not only does he look as good to me as he has ever looked, he actually looks better. In fact, you made the point that when he goes on a run like this, it feels like 2016 again. So how would you compare what he's doing right now versus what he did then? And then how does that all fit into the context of Golden State's season?
Well, when you look at 2015, 2016, I think right now, this last 10-game stretch or however long it's been, this is better. He's shooting it better. He's taking more threes, and that needs to be the future for him, like this 17, 18 three-point attempts per game. I know it sounds like crazy. I know that, you know, 10 years ago it would be like, what, you want one player taking, you know, 18 threes a game? There are certain teams that just don't do that, but Steph should be because he's just unbeatable from back there. It's like it's as efficient, basically, as getting Zion a shot in the paint. Like that's how accurate he is with those shots, and that's something he can keep doing. He's shooting better at the rim. He's getting to the line. Like he looks a little bit stronger. And I think, you know, he's just like, you see this with certain players. I think you see it with Chris Paul, for example, where he might be aging, but this, you get more reps and you figure out the game better and you figure yourself out a little bit better, and like you make these micro improvements. And if your game never relied on athleticism that much in the first place, then I think this even though the fact that he's 33 right now or 32 right now, it doesn't make that big of a difference, because it's not like he ever jumped out of the gym in the first place. The fact that he's just getting more of these reps is just making him better. And, you know, the Warriors, on the other hand, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's going to, even with Steph doing what he's doing right now, they're the ninth seed. They'll be in the play-in tournament. I think that would be really fun just to see Steph in there. But obviously, any NBA team would want to not really have that being the equation for them. But I don't know if the sixth seed is actually really in their grasp. They just don't really seem to have that talent unless Steph legitimately just keeps having these 40-point games.
And it looks like he could and will. Sirit Sohi is joining us. You know, you mentioned Chris Paul, so let me jump ahead really quickly. The Suns beat the Bucks in overtime on Monday night in Milwaukee. For months now, in fact, going back to January, you've been telling everybody, get on that bandwagon. Take me back to January then. What did you see in the Suns that made you think that they might be special?
Back January, I saw a team that was successful without necessarily doing the things that they were very capable of doing, that you could see them doing. Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton had not found a rhythm at all together. If you've watched Chris Paul in any of his other stops, though, once you put him next to a talented big man, that big man always gets better. So for them, it was working a little bit slower, and he hadn't really figured out, like, hey, where does he like the ball? They were, you know, putting him more in mid-range situations. They weren't running as much pick and roll. Now they're doing a ton more of that. Ayton's catching a lob, it feels like, almost every quarter. It certainly felt like that in that game. And his manipulation of the situation, just as he gets to know his teammates better, you knew that that would improve, just because, you know, like we were talking about before, reps, like that's the most important thing with a guy like him. And Devin Booker was not really playing like the Devin Booker we see right now. He was sort of learning how to play make alongside Chris Paul, but he was turning the ball over a ton. He was trying to outstretch his game. And despite these things not necessarily working, they were still winning games. So I was like, okay, these things, Chris Paul is Chris Paul. He's going to figure out his new teammates. Devin Booker is Devin Booker. He's not going to lead the league in turnovers in February and in April, you know? So that stuff just felt like it was self-evident to me. Then just add on the fact that this is a really young team that's made improvements on every level. Like, Mikal Bridges is having the best season of his career. DeAndre Ayton now having the best season of his career. Cam Johnson, Cameron Payne. Like, you just, everything suggested that they would continue to get better. And you can't always rely on that, because there's always potential. But it just felt a little bit more concrete than some of these other teams.
Sirit Sohi is an NBA reporter for Yahoo. We're talking about the West right now. So what about the Lakers? Like, there's this whole conversation that you and I could have about the Lakers that doesn't involve any of the players or anything on the court, and it's all about what's going on off the court. But if we were to leave that for a moment, they are on the verge of getting Anthony Davis back. Eventually, LeBron's going to come back. So what kind of expectations do you have for the Lakers when they do reassemble?
Man, are they going to be healthy? Like, that's kind of the biggest thing, right? Are they going to be healthy, and are they going to have enough in the tank to keep it going over the course of the finals? Like, the finals are going to be played in July this year. That's my biggest concern with them right now, is that, you know, like, obviously with Anthony Davis coming back, they ended up playing a little bit better without those guys than I thought they would. They started to find some rhythm towards the end. Then you also, you know, these other teams are getting injuries right now, too. Like, we actually just talked about this on Dump Bay. Right now, you have Kawhi Leonard out. You have Kevin Durant out. Harden out. LeBron out. AD out. Jamal Murray out. Damian Lillard out. Like, these are the best players in the NBA, and they're all out. So the Lakers are kind of going through something at a higher level that a lot of these other teams are going through. But they're not going to have to worry about the Nuggets this year. Not that they were that worried about them in the first place, I don't think. But that's a team they don't have to worry about. Is Kawhi going to be healthy? You know, the Suns have been healthy. That's probably one of the reasons that we've been talking about them a little bit more. The Jazz have been healthy. But for the Lakers, it's just, you know, can they get to June? Can they get to June, and is everybody intact? If so, I see them going to the finals again. But there's just so many questions, because this is just such a crazy season that it's so difficult to make predictions.
Right. So before you go, why don't you jump in on the MVP debate, or is it even a debate? When you see Joker, for instance, averaging nearly a triple-double, is he the MVP, period? Or, for instance, does Joel Embiid have a legitimate claim himself?
Well, Embiid's going to have something to say. There's no question about that. He's back. He's healthy. And honestly, the only reason that Embiid isn't the MVP frontrunner is he is also another one of these elite players that's gotten hurt. You got to give credit to Joker for being available. He's obviously having a fantastic season. Now they're going to need even more of him than before. I'd say he's a front runner, but if Embiid stays healthy, then I think I would give it to him just because of what he does on the defensive end as well. And the Sixers are the one seed. He's obviously crushing it on the offensive end as well. Like you can't really guard him without a double. You can't guard him with a double at this point either. Like he's an unsolvable problem. Joker is too, but just what Embiid brings on the defensive end, the fact that team is just playing so much better and actually looks like they could make some real noise in the playoffs. It gives me, I'd say I give a slight edge to Embiid.
All right, so one last thought. I'm sure you talk about this guy quite a bit on Dunk Bait, but what about Luka? What about Luka and how he fits in this conversation? What makes him so special as a talent and so unique?
Oh my gosh, man, Luka. Like, should I even bother describing it? I feel like you just have to watch him. That shot against Memphis, obviously, that everybody saw, but it's Luka magic, you know? It's just something that we haven't seen before. Like, the guy just has incredible touch, incredible control, incredible confidence, man. Like, oh my gosh, just the gusto of going up and taking some of these shots that he takes. He's strong. He's smart. I think he knows that when he plays his best that he can pretty much go toe-to-toe with any player in the NBA. And for how young he is, that's a pretty incredible thing to be able to say. But I don't even feel like talking about Luka does him any justice. Like, you got to just pull out a highlight reel. You got to pull out his craziest shots and just see how many times he's actually made those shots over and over again if you want to know just how far his game can go.
I mean, when you point it out like that, and I've actually heard you talk about this, but when you look at the narrative, when he takes and makes shots like that, and we see Steph doing what he's doing, and we see Damian Lillard pull up from where he pulls up, I mean, when you look at guys like this, is there now such a thing as a bad shot anymore?
Depends who you are.
Right. Not for those guys, though, right?
Not for those guys. Luka won a EuroLeague championship on a running three-pointer. Not a lot of people remember that. He's done crazy things like this before. He's done it enough times that I'm now thinking, okay, what's next, you know?
Yes, I do know. She's an NBA reporter for Yahoo, co-host of Dunk Bait. She just made her jungle debut, Sirit Sohi. Sirit, good job. Nice to have you on. Let's do that again soon. That was fun.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Thanks so much. Always good to get some new talent on the program. 1-800-636-8686. So I'm listening to what she said, well, on all things but the MVP debate. Let me check out the current MVP odds. The Joker, -360. So a heavy favorite. If you like value and you like Joel, the big fella, +350. Steph, inserting himself into the conversation late, +1700. I don't know. It's awfully hard. I mean, odds aside, awfully hard to go against Joker. The guy's averaging virtually a triple-double per game. But Steph, if you want value, man, I don't know. How do you not? Okay, if you play that big head bets game that we play every single Friday, how do you not throw some money at Steph? 1700 is a crazy number for Steph. So to the conversation, is it sustainable? If you think it is, and Golden State plays their way in, +1700 is a crazy number for a Hall of Famer playing as well as he's ever played and keeping his team alive. Like, he's single-handedly keeping them in the fight. I'd hit that. I'd throw something at that. I mean, I wouldn't hammer that, but that is a crazy number. If you're looking for that hedge, if you're looking to take a shot at something, I would take a shot at Steph late, +1700. All right, when we come back, ATP, the Ask the Pros. Ask me something I've not heard before, and you will get on the air, guaranteed. Doug Ellen, episode 171 of the Jim Rohn Podcast. You do not want to miss that. That is a good, real, raw, authentic conversation. If you like that show, you will love that conversation. Even if you don't like that show, you should like that conversation. And we do reset the interview I had with Rex Lee back in the day. I asked him about that. Also, Doug Ellen, he has an amazing story about how he booked one of his favorite athletes to be on Entourage and how that athlete screwed them and how he felt about that. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. You want to call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. Here. Part of the Wednesday tradition is the ATP Ask the Pros. You ask the pros a question, in this case me, and I answer it. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your custom or all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Rome, have you ever swam for exercise? It is a great workout. It works all muscles of the body. It's low impact, so your joints do not get all jacked up, and you get an almost full body tan. If you have not done it, Rome, I highly recommend it. If you need lessons or coaching, I got you. Don't take any swimming tips from Brad. He's just a water polo player that can't swim correctly or efficiently. Mario in SF. Yeah, Mario, I'm a middle-aged guy. I know how to swim. I don't think I need tips on how to swim, but I appreciate the thought. The funny thing is, no, I've never been into that. And I'm a big, big cardio guy, and I'm not into that, and I'm not really sure why. I just think that every cardio workout I've ever done, like going back to the 90s, I hit the treadmill hard for years. Loved a treadmill workout for years and years and years. Then I got sick of the pounding on, you know, to your point, limbs and joints. So then I went elliptical, and I worked in elliptical for years, and then got kind of tired of that. Then I went to my Peloton. I've been on my Peloton for years. And, you know, not to be a bag about it, but I've had a swimming pool in my backyard for a long time. Have never, ever swam for exercise. You know, for recreation, always I'll hit a cold plunge, maybe after a workout. But I just never liked the idea of just swimming back and forth for an hour. I've never done that. So the answer is no. Hi, Jim. Which character from Entourage are you most like? Thanks. Bella B in Calgary. I'm going to say Turtle, but the fat Turtle, not Turtle when he leaned out. Now, I'm really not like any of them, I don't think. Not like Ari. Not like E. Not drama. Like, I can't pull off Vince, man. I don't have that kind of rock star value. Can't pull that off. I have a little bit of some of them, but I'm not most like any of them. We get into it with Doug Ellen. Like, what is that show really about? Is it about Hollywood? Is it about friendship? Is it about something else? How is it that a show that was thought to be one of the best shows ever turned out to be a bad thing? What did he think about that? I never thought that, by the way. But the narrative around that show did change over years. And now it's flipping back. It's really interesting. He's just a really engaging guy, Doug Ellen, and really interesting himself. So if you like that show, you have to listen to that podcast. And even if you didn't like the show or know about the show, but you like a good conversation with a few F-bombs, listen to the podcast. Jimmo's, who fixes the office copy machine when the paper gets jammed? Brent in PC. That's easy. The office manager. Alvy fixes everything mechanical around here. Toner, copy machine, printer, coffee machine, everything. Alvy fixes it all. Wi-Fi, passwords. Dude, I don't know how to say this. Roaches. Came into my office one day. There was a cockroach the size of a giant rat. I said, Alvin, yo, I'm not generally a really squeamish guy, but man, that's pissing me off. That roach right there, lying on its back. Again, I don't know if it's napping it out or if it's dead, but it's about the size of a rat, bro. Dude. Oh, dude, really? I got that. And he did, man.
Dude.
Alvy came in, handled that rat-sized roach, got the exterminator on the blower. My man. When he's here, man, he gets bleep done. Anyway, that's the answer to the question. Not only does Alvin handle all copier issues, he essentially handles any issue related to the office at all. Except for Hawk, who once in a while stays late and will deal with a vendor. Ritt does nothing of the sort. So the answer to the question is, Alvy. Hey, you can jump in here right now if you want. I've got time for a phone call. 1-800-636-8686. Let's see, Nick, Tan Smack, can pull off Vince. I don't think, man, Vince was just cool. Vince, we're talking about Entourage. Yeah, Vince had that look, Vince had that vibe. Vince was the dude who got all the supermodels. I don't have that kind of game. I don't have that kind of rap. Well, I got a better rap than Vince. Vince didn't need a rap. Vince had a look. I saw him once in an airport, right in like the hype, right in the middle of the hype of Entourage, when that show was the biggest thing in the world, and I was its biggest fan in the world, and I saw him rolling through an airport by himself, and I tried to go up and chat him up, and you know, kind of a cool way, kind of a laid back way. Believe me, he had even less of an idea of who I was than Rex Lee did. He was much cooler about it.
Yeah.
He didn't give me that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I went up to him, and he was a really nice guy, actually. Adrian Grenier, right? And I went up to him, and he was a big, big TV star in that moment. And I went up to him, I said, hey, yo, man. And you know he was getting that all day, every day, because the show was the biggest thing in the world at that time. And I said, hey, man, I host this radio program and a TV show, and it's a sports show, but I'm really a big fan of the program, and a lot of the guys have been on the show. My show from your show, and I'm trying to chat him up, and he was really nice and really cool and really humble, but he had no idea whatsoever. Like, he knew nothing about sports or about me or about that show, but he did not give me the, yeah. So is that a question?
Yeah.
So when is this conversation between you and me going to be over?
Yeah.
Anyway, I did get into this with Doug about Rex. And listen, you know, I asked him straight up, like, dude, the hell was that guy's deal? Because that guy could not have respected me any less on my own show than he did. Doug's reaction is really interesting to it, I think. Look for it after this show. Let's see. Yellow Robot is in. ATP Jimmy. Besides your father, who was the biggest influence in your life and or career? Abigail in San Diego. Wow. Abby. War Lady Clones. Getting really heavy and deep at the end of a program. Who was the biggest influence in my life and or my career? For life. My wife, of course. Janet Rome. In terms of my business, you have to understand, I've answered this before. What I do, there really were no mentors for me coming up because there was no format when I first got into this business. Remember? When I got my first radio job, there was one sports radio station in America, WFAN. There were very few sports talk shows. There were even fewer people doing what it is I've done for my entire career. So there was nobody I could really point to as saying, yeah, I want to be like that guy. Like, there just weren't a lot of talk shows. And the only talk shows were like Dodger Talk. They were like post-game shows. So nobody was really going at it with personality or opinions or takes or rants or talking bleep. So I really didn't have that kind of a mentor. My father definitely had an influence. James Kelly says, what about that walrus-looking dude in San Diego? Who, the butter knife? Okay, now the butter knife was definitely a guy who was doing sports talk radio at that time. One of the few guys. Did he influence me in any way? Yeah, I guess in what not to do. San Diego Superchargers. I didn't even think about that for a minute. Like that walrus-looking dude. Craig Statler? Oh, you mean the butter knife. Yeah, no. All right, Abigail, hope that helps. Get out. Oh, Abigail coming in. Heavy, late. Who was the biggest influence in your career and or life? For life. Check out episode 171. Big number. I'm proud of that number. When I started that podcast several years back, I don't know that I knew that I'd get 171 eps in. People start those things and they shut it down after they find out what it is. So I'm proud of that number. Look for that. Doug Ellen is going to be my guest, and that's going to push out, I'm going to say, in maybe an hour, 90 minutes. The ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. My thanks to Sirit Sohi, Billy Napier, Elijah Molden, you clones who took part in the beef segment, and the XR4TI. Have an awesome Wednesday, and I will see you tomorrow.